Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment, presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, Peter Costello goes the blab. Sexpo 96 finds a home. The extraordinary. How extraordinary is it? And the Ten Commandments of Love. What are they again? Attention, sticky beaks. Can we play with you on Radio Gladiators? It's excuses, excuses, excuses. And joining us live, well, Johnny Rotten failed the show again, so it's Paul Hester. Will you sign in, please? Yes, all this and more coming up on the ongoing series of embarrassing gaffes that is Martin Malloy. Madonna, hey Dad, get off the preach here at Martin Malloy. And who's in today for our Thursday edition? Mm. It's Thursday, so let's have our Thursday edition. It's me, not? Tony Martin, and this bloke here, Peter Costello's public relations advisor, Mick Malloy.
And am I a busy boy today?
What's going on?
Oh, look, Tone, the Liberal Party have outdone themselves this time. Sure, since they came into power, there's been no shortage of gaffes, bloops, bleeps and blunders. But, well, up until now, they've been mucking about down the shallow end of the pool. Yeah. Move over, Alexander Downer. There's a new clown doing the rounds, going by the name of Peter Costello, who revealed details of a private conversation on interest rates he had with the chairman of the United States Federal Reserve, Dr. Alan Greenspan. Right. Now, the gaffe, which broke the unspoken rule that political leaders do not discuss private conversations with Greenspan, sent shockwaves through world markets and has prompted calls for his resignation. Right. Tone, this is just a sensational effort from the Treasurer. Here's a bloke who's not just happy to bugger up his own economy, he's going the whole hog. He's going to town on the world's largest. First Australia, then the US. He's like an economic serial killer. Everyone's trying to work out where he'll strike next. They're studying maps of the world. It's just got a big X across Australia, one across the US, seeing if they can identify a pattern, looking for motives. All they know is he's enjoying himself and says it's almost certain he'll strike again. He's got his eye on Belgium, I reckon.
They've been asking for it.
They're begging for it. They're begging for the Costello treatment. He's done what no other Australian treasurer has ever done, Tone. He's moved the US bond market. Have a look at the graph. Have a look at this graph here.
Okay.
That's it there. Look at it. It's cruising along. No problems. Not fussed. Going about its business. Then it gets to the point here where Costello made his comments, and check it out, much like the Treasurer himself on the midday show, it starts doing the Macarena. Check it out. It's going nuts. In medical term, it goes from no problemo to cardiac. It's stand clear time. You know, Tone, we all had a bit of a chuckle when Costello went the Macarena on midday.
Yes.
You thought, geez, what a goofball. But he looks harmless enough. Never suspecting that he was the architect of the next great global depression. He should have been halfway through his little jig on midday when a Terminator sent from the future lunged from the studio audience and saved us all from oblivion. Sure, it'd have to be a fairly old Terminator, possibly with blue hair and definitely opposed to Asian immigration, but otherwise we're all going to be wiped off the face of the planet. Speaking of Asia, that's where he's headed next after the US. Yeah, and they're real happy about that, Tone, let me tell you. There's an economy that's been bubbling along nicely, minding its own business. Yeah, well, wait till old Blabbermouth hits town. That'll get your economic charts up round Richter 9. He's expecting high-level talks, but I don't know. I can see Asian economists divulging sensitive information to Madame Vasso before our own Right Honourable Mrs. Jessop. Get yourself a cone of silence, Asian dudes. That's my tip. The Japanese economy.
Yeah.
Now, that's not exactly what you'd call a boutique arrangement. It's lying flat on its back on the canvas. Come on, Howard. Enough's enough. Call home your band of wandering minstrels. Get Downer and Costello, the world's most famous comedy duo, back here where we can keep an eye on them. And maybe, in a private conversation, strictly confidential, you could tell him he's sacked. That way it won't be long before we all get to hear the good news.
That's Alanis Morissette with Head Over Feet here at Martin Malloy. Mick, can we talk showbiz for a second?
Absolutely.
Here's a story I found in the latest New Weekly. Friends star Courtney Cox, who I think is one of the female ones.
Yeah.
I've been watching it for weeks. I still can't tell them apart. But according to this article, Courtney dumped her boyfriend, former Batman Michael Keaton, because he refused to obey
her Ten Commandments.
Well, he got what was coming to him.
A list of golden rules she had stuck up on the fridge. Keep to these and we're fine. Batman warned tough-talking cocks. Break one and it's over. All now, right. It's a pretty comprehensive list.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, when I'm ready, you'll father my children. We don't discuss past lovers. Even if we're married, we must each keep a separate home. Keep any areas we share neat and tidy. Keaton, for his part, only had two commandments. Always rewind my video of Mr. Mom. And don't say I told you so whenever someone says I should have done a third Batman movie. But have you ever heard of couples doing this?
No. Nah.
Michael Hutchins and Paula Yates, would they have a Ten Commandments on the fridge? I know they've got some tablets under the bed.
Allegedly. But not of the stone variety.
But anyway, after checking this out, my girlfriend's been rather taken by it.
Right.
And she's decided to nut out a Ten Commandments for me.
Oh, good.
I've brought it in. Could we just go through it?
Run through it, please.
The Ten Commandments. Listen to this. Number one, thou shalt not giggle like a maniac and shout, now that's funny, during Beavis and Butthead. I've said, okay, but the same rule applies to you during I Do, I Do. That's the funniest hour of the week in our house around there. But here's another TV-related one. Number two, when watching an action movie on video, thou shalt not constantly wind back to try and work out how they did some kind of explosion or effect. She hates that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hates that. I said, look, feel free to do the same during a chick flick, you know, during How to Make an American Quilt. If you want to wind back to see how they did a certain stitch, go for your life. Number three, thou shalt hang in there when we go into a women's clothing shop. I can be cool, calm, collected all day, enter a woman's clothing shop and just fall to pieces.
There's no recognisable points of reference. Where do I look? What do I do? Suddenly I've forgotten how to walk properly.
Any attempt at a helpful suggestion is a disaster. I just end up pointing at things that look good on me. Check out this black jacket. That'd go great with all my stuff. If you're lucky, there's a couple of other blokes being dragged around the shop and the three of you can set up a bloke's enclave within the store.
Right.
Form a circle, all start talking about the footy.
Join hands, guys. We can get through this together.
Number four, thou shalt let me drive at least once a year. And when you do, not act like it's one of those learner driver cars with the extra set of controls on the passenger side. Oh, hates that. Yeah. When I'm miming the steering wheel and the pedals. It gets on the nerves a bit.
I can imagine.
Number five, thou shalt not walk around the house practicing the phrase, there it is, the new one from Bryan Adams. Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
It's a bit specific,
I'm in agreement.
Yeah. Number six, thou shalt not try and fake an interest when a tampon ad comes on the telly. Drop the bullshit, Martin. All blokes hate those ads. Don't try and pretend like you're some kind of sensitive bloke who knows what's going on in that department.
You've been busted too.
Number seven, thou shalt not leaf through my copies of Vogue magazine and pretend it's the fashions you're looking at. Oh, yes. Yeah. All have. That's a great look there. Yeah. She's got a great look there.
Mm. Is that going to be big this summer?
She's not wearing anything. That's a great look. Number eight, thou shalt not go off when I accidentally throw one of your head-to-toe fish suits in with the whites. Oh, well, that's a bit of a personal one, that one. Number nine, when hanging out my underwear on the clothesline, thou shalt not gesture to the neighbours and snicker, check them out, over-the-shoulder boulder holders. Is there anything wrong with that?
I can't see anything. I don't know what's wrong. But
just a bit of harmless fun. And number 10, thou shalt not embarrass me again on your radio program like you usually do when you're short of material by reading out this list. Ah, could be some trouble tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to get home and find all my fish suits out in the street. To be with you, that'd be Rochford here at Martin Malloy.
Tonight on The Extraordinary, we take a look at strange markings discovered on a piece of cloth which amazingly have become the official Olympic logo. We dramatically recreate how it might have happened.
Johnson, how's that official Olympic logo design coming along?
Not very well. All I've got so far is a stupid boomerang.
Yeah, give me a look at that.
Careful, sir. I wouldn't lean on the table.
Oh, Lord, look what I've done to your design.
It's brilliant.
Quick, copyright it and let's start printing. We're rich, Johnson. We're rich.
Also tonight, Ross Perot. Was that him in the basket of the flying bike in E.T.? Camilla Parker Bowles. Does she have some kind of crying game surprise in store for Prince Charles? Mother Teresa. Seen her lately? Yeah, right. Shouldn't that be great-grandmother Teresa? And in an extraordinary exclusive, we visit a house in England, some believe to be haunted by the ghost of that country's most famous comedian.
There have been many strange occurrences, mostly in this room here.
Right, well, let's take a look then. Wow, that was really scary. I've never been patted on the head by a ghost before.
Yeah, but did you check out the nogs on that other ghost? Rubba bubba.
And finally, my voice. Why does it sound the way it does? For the answers to this question and many, many more, tune in tonight to The Extraordinary.
That's better.
Swings.
From La Bouche, hola, hey, here at Martin Malloy. Yep. How would Warwick Moss from The Extraordinary say that, Mick?
Oh,
that's him. That's the one.
Someone get me some paper.
It's very close to Teddy.
Teddy, it is a bit close to Teddy.
Hola, hey. I have no further statements.
Oh, I love doing that. This is Martin Malloy, where we often just amuse ourselves. Yep. Radio Gladiators, it's coming up.
Good.
And today we're talking excuses.
Mm-hmm.
We've got sticky beaks in the next hour. There's no excuse for that. And here's something. Here's something that requires an excuse. Johnny Rotten. We've been trying to get him on the show for how long now?
About a month.
We had him almost on the show about 2 weeks ago.
Locked in, nothing could go wrong.
Nah, didn't happen, and we were hoping to have him on today. He's playing hard to get.
He is. We're sitting by the phone. We've got the box of chocolates ready to go.
And he just won't... How long were we here the other night waiting for Johnny Rotten?
It was some time.
But every time he doesn't call us, I have more and more respect for the man.
Same here.
I wouldn't want him to call.
No, it's wrong.
It just wouldn't feel right.
I hope this goes on forever.
If you pick up the phone and it's, oh, it's Johnny Rotten here.
Yeah, you're conforming.
Oh,
you're just
exactly.
Doing what you're told.
No,
look, it's you. You've sold out.
He's let himself go. He's becoming reliable. Now, what's going on in the papers that... Oh, and I should just mention, sorry, we haven't got Johnny Rotten. So guess who we've got?
Paul Hester.
That's right. You set it along with everybody at home there.
Has he set the alarm? Do we know he's actually going to be here?
I have no idea.
Because he's becoming rather unreliable himself.
He's going a bit rotten his own self. Is there anything in the papers that we should be pointing at?
Well, Tane, I saw something interesting on the news late last night.
Yeah.
And it was a drug bust. It was a woman arrested at Perth Airport.
Right.
And she was busted. She was a British tourist on a flight from Amsterdam. Because under her clothes, she had 5,000 ecstasy tablets strapped to her body. She was covered in them. It was like she was wearing an ecstasy jumpsuit. Would have won a prize at the Young Designer of the Year Awards and proved very popular at the after party.
Yeah.
And I was having a bit of a laugh because you know what I reckon? You know what I reckon she would have looked like to a drug addict? A huge corn on the cob. They would have been sitting there imagining holding her horizontal, one hand on the head, the other on the feet, just going... It was incredible. Look, I just couldn't believe it. But you know what, Tone? I was caught recently doing the exact same thing myself, except I was wearing a layer of Baroccas under my clothes. I don't know why, because they're... perfectly legal. And you know what, something, Tone? I would have got away with it too, except in the queue at customs, I started to perspire. They all began dissolving.
This is Martin Malloy.
Well, I think that's more than enough introducing to satisfy even the most introduction-hungry viewer.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
Hey, you're currently enjoying Martin Malloy. Or perhaps you're not, and it's time for this...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Excuses, excuses, excuses. That's what we're looking for today. Bad excuses. Mickey, listen to this story from today's paper. I think this is from Melbourne. 9 men charged with being found at an illegal gaming house said they had just dropped by for a cup of coffee. A court heard yesterday.
That's the worst excuse I've heard in 25 years, said the magistrate.
And he would have heard a few.
Just dropping by for a cup of coffee. You often hear bad excuses in court. I know people like to play the insanity card. That bloke in New York, the allegedly, the top mafia kingpin of New York, wandering around his neighbourhood in the pyjamas and the dressing gown. We've talked about this before.
playing the insanity card. I suppose that's not really an excuse. That's more of a just a bit of shonky behaviour.
Yeah.
We're really looking for bad excuses today. Mm. Have you heard of any lately?
Oh, well, there's always the old, I was in the backyard playing golf when the limo arrived to pick me up. Thank you very much, Mr. Simpson.
That seems to work.
And, of course, let's not forget me lungs are packed in. Look at me, I'm in a wheelchair and better pass that face mask, I'm gone.
Here's a good one. I know a bloke who went along to one of those live hypnosis shows. It could have been Martin St. James. Mm-hmm. It could have been Shane St. James. It could have been the lesser-known Gummo St. James. I'm not sure. But for weeks afterwards, he was using that as an excuse for everything. Forgot a birthday. Oh, I'm still under the effects of Martin St. James. There's nothing I can do. He's messing with my mental processes. And this bloke was pulling that for everything. Yeah. Late for work. Oh, so I've been hypnotised.
That's not a bad effort.
That works.
How's this? I know a bloke, his grandmother, has died 5 times.
She's a shocker.
She just keeps coming back. Won't take no for an answer. Any excuse. Oh, you're not going to believe it, Mick. My grandmother's died again.
On the weekend of a particularly unpopular wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Anytime you like.
I know a bloke who was late for work and claimed he'd been taken hostage by territorials during an army exercise.
What?
Oh, he was on the way to work. He had to drive in from the country. Got pulled over. It was an army war game exercise. There was nothing he could do. He was held hostage for a few hours. And he went with it. He rode that one all the way to the bank.
Well, he's a confident man. Here's one we've all heard at some stage. You're at a dinner table when a dung-like smell wafts across the room, resulting in a savage kicking for the dog.
Oh, yes.
We've all played that one. You mongrel! You bird dog!
Yeah, that's what Peter Costello tried to do when he dropped that gaff.
It was the dog! The dog did it! It wasn't me!
And here's one, too. I actually used this in 1981. Mm-hmm. I had to be at my grandparents. Mm-hmm. Didn't get there in time. And I said that I'd been caught up in the Springbok football riots. And the thing is, it was true.
It was.
And no one believed it.
It was going, right, Martin.
Remember that Springbok riots we had in New Zealand?
I remember the Springbok riots. And from memory, there were some pretty hefty blokes going the tonk.
Yeah.
Now, did you turn up unscathed by any chance?
I was, listen to this, I was on my way to the movies. And suddenly a rioting crowd came charging down the street. But I'll never forget the radio broadcast of that. This is when the Springbok rugby team were touring New Zealand. Yep. There was a lot of controversy. And there was a bloke, I heard a bloke on an AM radio station going, and I'm here in the middle of the riots and I'm being pushed down a cliff. Oh my God, this is Brian Simpson for 1ZH Hamilton. As he actually fell down a cliff, still filing the report.
There's a good excuse.
He didn't need an excuse. We've gone a bit off the subject.
We have indeed.
We're just looking for bad excuses for anything, for being late, for being missing a birthday.
The worst excuse you've ever heard.
In any context, and it has to be real, not made up. The excuse doesn't have to be, you know, based in fact, but it has to be one that somebody actually tried to pull. Do we have a prize? Gracie, if you could move those magic fingers, please, as I inform you, if you win today, you'll be off to a luxury 5-star hotel in your hometown or the nearest hometown with a luxury 5-star hotel.
That'll do.
There's every extra you can imagine, and it's all thanks to our friends at Lipton's and their new range of herbal flavours. Listen to this one. Wildflowers and honey.
Wildflowers and honey.
Put your pants back on, Mick Malloy. That's a real flavour.
I like wildflowers and I like honey. But put them together and oh, what devilish cocktail have you constructed for my enjoyment. Thank you, Lipton's. Thank you.
Mr. Lipton's to you.
All right.
Give us a call with your worst ever excuse. 1-800-657-657. My Diesel, there's no excuse for that. All come together here at Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators. We just want to hear excuses today. Mm. We want to hear real excuses. Mm. And we want to hear made up bogus excuses that you've tried out, that you've run up the flagpole.
They've got to be good ones that we can use at a later date.
That's right.
That's what we're looking for.
These will be noted down and stockpiled for us here on the program. We have members of the general public from every far-flung corner of the big brown land on the line with an excuse. Who's first? Mick Malloy.
It's Jazz. How are you, Jazz?
I'm fine, thank you.
That's the way. Tell us about the excuse. Was it you?
A client of mine told me that he couldn't pay his bill because his car was hit by a concrete truck and his wallet and his checkbook were in the glove compartment and were now crumpled into the middle of the wreck.
Oh, right. Crushed into the vehicle.
Absolutely.
Encased in concrete. You'll never get them out.
I guess. I'm still waiting for the money.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Andy, did you buy it?
No, I don't think so.
Crushed into... You could use that for anything, couldn't you? Where's my birthday present?
Crushed into the car. Oh, terrific.
All right, well, that's
if you want
good.
It, you're going to have to get the jaws of life.
Very nice, and one that certainly people can try out.
Mm.
Okay, thanks, Jazz. And now we've got James. James, what's your excuse?
Me and a couple of mates of mine, we were drinking some beer down at the Prince of Wales Hotel down there in St Kilda.
Oh, yes, yes.
And we were having a particularly long lunch, and we'd been told to get back by 2 o'clock.
Right, you had to get back to the Magistrates Court?
No, to the fence, which was in Noble Park.
Okay.
And, we were late, like it was about 2:30, 2:45, still not back. So on the way back, two of my mates took off their watches, and I wound mine back to 2:45.
Right, okay. So they didn't have watches, and yours was somehow inexplicably...
An hour late.
An hour late, how's that?
You thought they'd all of a sudden redesigned the international time zone.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, there's one you can use.
And we got away with it too.
Yeah. Oh, really? They bought that one? And would they be listening to this program, do you suspect, though, James?
Who cares? It was a long time ago.
It's all part of history. Yes, yes. I actually remember winding my watch back 2 years to explain not visiting my relatives once. I didn't buy that one. Okay, thanks, James. Now we've got Laurel. Laurel, what's your excuse?
My boyfriend at the time and I had only just moved into a new house, and he didn't come home one night, and his excuse was he forgot where he lived.
Oh, forgot where he lived.
He was back at the old place. Sleeping
exactly.
on the floor.
Yeah.
Wondering where you were.
Did you buy it? Did you buy it, Laurel?
No, because he's now an ex-boyfriend.
Oh, dear. How often do you reckon Bobby Brown forgets where he lives?
Quite often by the sound of it.
He's very forgetful.
Oh, isn't he?
He's forgetful to the max. Okay.
Well, Laurel, well done. Weren't buying it.
Thanks, Laurel. And how's things going with the new boyfriend?
Excellent.
He knows where he lives, doesn't he?
I think he does.
All right, well, let's speak to Pete now. Pete, are you there?
Yeah, mate.
What's your excuse?
Oh, I was sent out to get some paint one day. I had those little cards with the colour on it that the wife picked out.
Yeah.
And, on the way there, I lost a little card. And I picked out a colour which was pretty well close to what I had to get, but it was wrong.
Right.
And when I brought it back, she picked it up that it was wrong, and I told her I told the guy in the paint store that the colour of our carpet and the colour of our lounge, and he punched it in the computer and he came up with this colour, which was better off than the other one.
Oh, right. And how far off the mark were you, Pete?
I wasn't really that far off. It was totally wrong altogether.
Gee, so you're able to blame it on the colour computer.
Yeah.
Computer error.
Yeah.
And was she buying that?
She bought it. She's still outside. She's watering the garden. She doesn't know yet. She's not going to know either.
Fantastic. Well, you could have just said it was a mix-up with their big shaking machine. Do you like the big shaking machine in the paint shop?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Do you think they use it to mix cocktails in the lunch hour?
Yeah, a couple of cans of beer wouldn't go through either.
I reckon they're always up to no good on that thing.
I'd be trying to get into it myself. But anyway, thanks, Pete. We've got Jenny now with an excuse.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Not bad. What's your excuse?
That's good. Well, I'll tell you what happened to me. I was working at a health club in Sydney, and I wanted to go and see the cricket, the one-day match with my husband and two children.
Uh-huh.
And so I told the boss I had high blood pressure, and I'd slipped down the stairs, and I'd sprained my ankle.
Right.
And anyway, that was fine until I got there when my two sons had a fight and we'd made them a big poster. And when they hit, Australia hit four, and one of the boys had one end and the other one wouldn't hold the other end.
Right.
So I ran and held it. It hit the fence and I was on the big screen TV.
Oh, I see. And the boss spotted it.
It was a nightmare. He watched TV that night at 10:30, had his tea when he got home, and he's gone, oh. And he said, Jenny, you cost us four runs. That was the worst part. But I felt so awful because he was a good bloke.
Right. So you'd fallen all the way down the stairs to cricket.
I think I ended up with high blood pressure by the time I got back to work. I felt so guilty.
Hey, what'd you have on the sign, Jenny?
I had Come On Aussies. It was original.
Oh, beautiful. Well, I think that's trademarked. I hope you've got an excuse for that. Nicely done. That's a beauty.
Good work,
yeah. All right. Okay, have we got time for one more? Yes, and it's going to be John. John, have you got an excuse for us?
Yep, how are you?
Not bad. What have you got?
Well, I forgot to turn up to a date with my girlfriend. And she rang me up the next day and asked what happened to me. Anyway, I tried to come up with an excuse off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I had my life insurance policy sitting on my table, so I told her my life insurance policy ran out yesterday and I couldn't step outside the house.
Oh, you might be hit by a falling safe or some such.
Yep.
And what was her reaction to that? Just a click and...
Exactly. And I haven't heard from her since.
Gee, I see. Well, I suppose it's slightly more convincing than I forgot where I live. But is that our witness? Some beauties there. I think being sprung on the...
Yeah, we're going Jenny's side. Nice though that excuse was, John, I think for...
Oh, my God.
Pure colour and movement, we're giving it to Jenny.
How's the blood pressure?
Oh, it's gone again.
Oh, no. She won't be able to go to work tomorrow. Oh, you'll have to go to the cricket
now. Thank you very, very much.
You didn't tell him you couldn't work today, did you?
I'm shaking now. No.
He's probably listening to the radio going, she's done it again.
Well, you're off to a 5-star luxury hotel. Where are you calling us from?
On the Gold Coast.
Oh, I'm sure there's a few there. We'll get you into one of them, and there's every extra you can imagine, all thanks to our friends at Lipton's and their new range of herbal flavours.
Thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it.
All right, Jenny.
Thanks, Jen, and thanks to everybody who took part. We'll be back in the next hour with a bloke who doesn't bother with elaborate excuses. I slept through my alarm. Serves him every time. It's Paul Hester.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
On SAFM.
And in this hour of the program that makes Peter Costello look like the model of discretion, it's Sticky Beaks, it's Mick Malloy in Murder One, and it's Paul Hester talking through his hat here at Martin Malloy, all thanks to Coca-Cola. It's the ultimate summer refreshment.
That's Mariah Carey. She'll always be your baby. Here at Martin Malloy, it's the second hour, and we were hoping to bring you Johnny Rotten at this point. But
again.
Yeah, he stood us up again. He won't call. He won't write. We've got no idea if he's eating properly. So here, once again, to fill the rotten shoes, it's our favourite spare tyre. He's Paul Bloody Hester. Thanks, Paulie.
Thank you. Now, didn't I fill in for him last time?
You did. Every time Rotten fails to front, we're getting you in. That's your excuse now.
If he doesn't turn up for one of his gigs where they're out here in Australia, watch out, because I'll be calling you. Esther.
It's hard to know who looks older and stupider, isn't it, really?
Well, listen to this. You two, just tell the listeners what you've been talking about for the last 7 or 8 minutes.
Oh, we've been talking Teddy. Murder One.
Teddy from Murder One. I haven't been following Murder One, but I know you two and a lot of people around the nation have hung in there from the first step.
We've all been waiting for Teddy to raise his voice, but he's been talking like this for about a month.
Do you think the fight has just begun?
Yeah.
Will he go off, do you think, in the final episode?
I found out last night, I missed the week before, he had a bit of a root. I didn't realise that, but that came up last night. That was very interesting. Yeah. So lawyers are people. Yes. I think that's the point they make.
I think he did it.
Yeah.
I reckon Teddy did it. Oh, no, have I ruined the ending?
Oh, no!
Oh. And over the next courtroom scene with Teddy, yeah, I reckon they should whack one of those little dicky kneecaps on him and just shoot him from behind.
And what's going on? So the last night there was the verdict, but there's still more to go. There's still a bit of doubt in the air, isn't there?
No. They showed everything in the little blurb about next week.
Oh, don't give it all away.
Richard Crosby and wheeled in on the wheelchair to give testimony because he has got the bloody video of the murder that took place, so they could have all just watched the video, had some chips and gone home, but instead they had a big, hearing.
Right.
But I mean, it's brilliantly put together by, who is it? But Teddy Barocas? What's his name? He's great. Yeah, he's brilliant. He's a mastermind. He throws you, spins you around on a dime, doesn't he, Mick?
He's the king.
Stephen Botchko, he gives you back your BB bounce.
I don't watch it alone. I watch Teddy.
Yeah, that's Teddy. It should just be called Teddy.
Is that what it's called?
He's been given the arse for the second series and we're ropeable. Yeah. We are ropeable. Yeah, there's a whole new series next year and they're not going to go Teddy.
And it's going to be Anthony LaPaglia from Australia. Seriously, he's going to be filling in. I don't know if he's balding up. I don't know if he's taking over the role of Teddy. I don't know if he's going to be talking like this for the whole series, but we'll find out.
He's not interested.
He's being nuggeted by other cast members as we speak.
All right, enough Teddy talk. I'm fed up with it. What else is going on, Paul Hester?
Oh, nothing much. I mean, there's been a big week for me of TV watching.
Yes, I can tell.
The Arias were on, and there's a good month's worth of laying on your back having a good old giggle at everyone else. Every other whacker that went up there and sat through the thing live. There's a bloody irony.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to have done that.
No, see, I've done that. I knew you guys were going to go up. That's why I said tracky dacks. Make sure you're comfortable.
Oh, so yes, it was very nice of them to put black tie on the invite, wasn't it? Dear, did you see some of the pants? Someone, people are accepting in tracky dacks.
Oh, there were some looks. The best look, though, there was something that was done that has never been done before by Glen A. Glen A brought into the first time the crossover hair, like that slicked over Norman Gunston up top, with this plait down the back, which is incredible to put the two together. I've never seen the two being put together before. There's a crossover look was introduced by an A. Burridge, a lawn bowler from Torquay in 34, and it's never actually been matched with a plait before. You know, but old A. Baker comes up with the...
Teddy from Murder One. May as well put the big plait down the back. Yeah. He would have got away with it as convincingly.
He'd be on the next series.
That's
what the Aries is all about, innovation. People were saying there's not enough innovation. Glen A's trying to oblige.
There's too much sincerity for my money. I mean, we're just talking about music after all. I mean, what's happened to Tina Arena? Hello! Where's she gone with it? Oh, she's so sincere all of a sudden. I mean, Tina, loosen up. Because, you know, in a few years' time, it'll be Tina who, Marina? You know, it's all going to come, it's all going to go. She knows that, I know that, we know that. Let's have a giggle while we can. And then later on, you might get your own TV show out of it. Listen to me. Kids, loosen up.
Was there at any stage in the night you were getting the pangs of, oh, I wish I was there?
No.
What about...
It's so good not to be there. I can't tell you.
The only person who acquitted themselves with any dignity, I feel, was young David Graney.
Dave was so cute. Look, it was worth watching it, just to see those fingers go up. You know, he put those two fingers up. I've been doing it all week in cars to people and pulling up at lights, and I've been putting my fingers up and going, Dave Graney, king of pop. And people have been doing it back. Yeah. It's like it's taken over. In a funny way, I've fallen in love with him.
Yeah.
Finally, the king of pop is where it should be.
Yeah, he's the only one who embraced it in the spirit. He wore that. You'll see cab drivers wearing the suit, wearing the crushed pink suit, maintaining the wig, and giving you the one finger, or even the Dave Graney twirl. He's got the twirly
fingers.
He gave
you the twirl.
He gave us the twirl. We shouted out Dave. He gave us the twirl, didn't say a word.
That's a big nod.
All right. Well, enough self-congratulatory Arius talk.
Let's
go to a bit of music here at Martin Malloy. That's the Cranberries with Zombie here at Martin Malloy, where Paul Hester is sitting in for Johnny Rotten once again.
Right.
And, Paul, we sent you off on assignment this week. We said we need some art, we need some culture on the program. What did you go and see?
I went down to the Hart Gallery in Melbourne and had a look at this Annie Leibovitz exhibition.
Now, for people who don't know who Annie Leibovitz is, who is she? Photographer, takes a few snaps.
Yes.
Always on the front of the Rolling Stone.
Well, she was the Rolling Stone, I suppose you could say, for years. You know, Annie documented so many things. She went on the Big Stones tours. She did everything through the 70s, and she sort of became famous for creating portraits of celebrities.
Right.
And but, you know, she's sort of also well-known as a photojournalist too, so there was that element in there. It was pretty incredible.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the Stones, was there much of that, because I know that particular tour, there was a bit of hijinks.
There's three great pictures of the Stones.
Yeah.
And one of them's Mick Jagger's wrist, which has been slashed and stitched up. There's
really?
About 20 stitches in it.
What happened there? What was that all about?
Well, that's another story.
That's
the next picture is just Mick in the lift with a towel around his head and a bathrobe on.
Right.
Obviously lost. The third picture is just Keith, unconscious, in a photo shoot with his trousers undone. And he's very much asleep, I should think. He's had a big day. That was Keith's big day.
And
this sort of would say sum up that tour.
And does Keith's eyes follow you around the room if you move about?
No, there's one eye that follows you around the room. It's in his butt, and it's a big W. Big wow. Big W's on his eyes. She's funny too. That's the other thing. She's got a sense of humor.
What else is in there that people might want to see? Is there anything of you, Paul?
I couldn't. No, but there's a great portrait of Barry Humphreys.
Yeah.
Tragedy. All over him and everything. But there's some great portraits of people. But I always couldn't stop looking at it. Because there's like all these three-footers, you know, all these sort of 65-year-old sort of, you know, ritzy sort of Turaki sort of babes. They're about 64 not out, too many rings are sort of almost tilting them over one side. They've got to sort of even them up, you know, the jewellery.
Gin sirens, that's what my mum calls them, the gin sirens.
We call them vibe suckers. Yeah. They just walk around the room sucking in all the vibes and they never go anywhere and give anything back. They just take. And they're looking at all these sort of pictures of these sort of super punks in undies and sort of nude celebrities, you know, tossles and hair going everywhere. Yes. And they're sort of just can almost touch it, but they're in this lovely museum. Yeah. With champagne and cheese bread, and nothing gets to them, and that's how they see things.
Right.
And that fascinates me. That I sort of feel like going up and going, whoa! You know, just grabbing them. Hey, there you go, whoa, up there, there you go. Lady!
Because would they be interested if, Keith Richards was really there?
I don't know.
Or if Mick Jagger was really there with the pants halfway down? They probably wouldn't want to be there, but if it's nicely framed. I remember when I was at school,
a nice belt you'll have.
We went to an art exhibition. It was something that was called the Tyson Borgermeiser exhibition, and it was great works of impressionist paintings from the last century. All these fantastic paintings, and the school party was following all these women around. And, you know, when you see these paintings, they're in these big, gold, chunky frames. And these women are just going, oh, that's got a nice frame. That's a beautiful frame. Can you get a frame like that? That'd be gold. I think that's gold on that frame. And you go, it's Van Gogh! Check out the middle bit! It's a painting!
Exactly.
Fantastic.
I think the bigger ones cost more than the small ones. You know,
now,
it's all shapes and sizes.
Tell us about, have you ever been photographed for some sort of exhibition, Paul? I've seen you photographed from time to time in various states of undress.
That's called a mugshot, Tony.
Yeah, I've had one of those. Bailed up at the Canadian border. Yeah. No, I have been exhibited. I have been hung in a few little museums. And, I think the Performing Museum in Melbourne had a little bit of a sort of ode to, you know, the crowdies. And I think there's some photos there. We had one we took on the set of the Today Show in America. We stopped the show and got this guy, Lenny, to come and take this shot. And he sort of stuck his big ass in front of the camera. And all of a sudden, it was just his butt and a bit of Jane Pauley's knee. And they're freaking out upstairs. But he took this great photo of it. And, we sort of, that was in there.
Did you get to meet Willard when you were on there?
No, Willard was safely somewhere down in, Seattle or something.
What about, they always keep him at a nice safe distance, don't they?
And isn't that how Roker, he's doing that Nutty Professor thing? Oh, you've got to amuse yourself. Paul, thanks for coming in and filling in for Rotten again.
Yes.
If he doesn't show up next time, we're going to be calling you.
Yes, well, I mean, I don't know. It's funny making a thing out of someone's failure, isn't it? But, I mean, perhaps that's my role in life.
All right, well, should we get Paul to stick around for Sticky Beaks?
Yeah, go on.
I don't know if that's going to work.
You're in it now, Paul.
Well, give it a bash. That'll be next.
Okay, let's go.
Martin Molloy. Forgotten, not forgotten, forgiven. Here at Martin Molloy, that's the cause. Paul Hester has stuck around. He's just sitting in on the program today. Paul, have you had much to do with Peter Costello over the years? We're just throwing names at you, seeing what you come up with.
There's a snag I'd like to turn over and burn the bum off. No, I haven't had much to do with him, slippery little character.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm having a bit of a giggle now.
You know what? We were talking about excuses earlier. Mm. Good excuses. Here's a great excuse you can use. I'm reading today about our tax payments in operation at work. Your tax dollar at work, Australia. The average worker spends 2 days a week working for the tax office, according to an accounts body. Gee, they had to get accounts to do maths to work that out, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, 2 days a week, that'd be about 40%. Yeah, we can say that. Put out a press release. But that means that now, if you're doing a dodgy day at work, if this show's a bit below par, we can go, well, this is one of the days we're doing for the tax office.
Yes. Yeah. Cop that.
Yeah. You have to do them.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. This is one for the tax office. All right.
Brought to you by tax office.
Brought to you by Peter Costello and friends. Pete, what's it time for?
It's time to invade the privacy of fellow Australians as we play Sticky Beaks. Here's how it works. We need two complete strangers to call us here at Martin Molloy. During the break, Mick and Tony will pry into their personal lives and extract the information they need to pit our two beaks against each other. Not the girl you think you are. If you're our winning Sticky Beak, you'll bag the entire Crowded House CD back catalogue. And you'll go into the draw for 1 week in your very own dream house, a castle in Germany, where you'll be presented with the 1 millionth copy of Crowded House's recurring dream and be packed off to the concert of your choice. All thanks to Arc Music TV, only on Optus Vision. Last week, I decided to take a late-night sticky beak around the offices of Australia's funniest home video show.
Let me see if I can remember what happened.
So, this is where they put the program together. I might just see if there's any spare gags I could pass on to the guys. What's in here?
Oh, gee, what was that? Ouch! My head! Ow! Left that skateboard on the... Heading straight for that wedding cake!
Back to you, lads.
Oh!
Thanks very much, Pete Smith.
What a pro.
Isn't it good to hear your album title said by Pete?
Everything. To be said by anything's great. To be heard by Pete.
Now, are you aware of this prize we're giving away, Paul? Apart from all your old CDs that we know you haven't even got yourself. We're putting the contestants on Sticky Beaks, the winning contestants, in the draw for a trip to Germany. They'll be spending a week in an actual castle. And somewhere along the line, they're being presented with the 1 millionth copy of your best of.
Well, let's just hope they sell them in. I mean, I'll be out there buying the last 10,000. That's what it takes.
That's
you
right.
Know, that could be a tax day.
Now,
just buying up CDs there, Pete.
What if they haven't got to a million? No one's explained that yet.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's up to anywhere near a million.
No, I think worldwide it's up to a million, I think.
What do you mean?
Well,
how would you know?
Well, I read somewhere you sold 500,000 in England. I was reading that.
Yeah, well, there's 500,000 more to go.
Well, there's more bits of the world plus England.
Yeah, Australia, New Zealand, there are for 60,000.
You'd be big in Ghana.
Ghana.
What about the Ivory Coast? Shifting any units down there, mate?
No, not units. Shifting a few other things. No, look, it's nowhere near the mill. I don't know. It's news to me. I mean, I'll be wrapped if it happens. Don't get me wrong.
Well, what do you want to do? Call the whole thing off? Is that what you're saying?
I'm surprised.
Rip that up, Tony. I don't want to hear another word about that castle or that infernal millionth copy.
You'll be receiving the 27th copy of Crowded House.
Any place here in Ghana's Fantasyland.
And, of course, I'm assuming some record company drone crawls in with a copy of the CD for you. What about you? We've been talking about this for an idea. We squeeze you into a monkey suit, send you to Germany. You come charging in like Alfred the Butler, present the CD you want for that, Paul.
I've done that. They've seen me. The Germans have seen me in many forms. The monkey suit they've seen.
There's a fantastic, I don't know if you're aware of this, on the internet, there's a fantastic German crowded house site. Have you been there?
Yeah, I have.
Das Krautenhausen!
Yeah, no, I've had little visits. And I've seen that. They've been making up songs. You know, and rewriting the words.
They've been taking the piss, Germans. Yes. Well, I didn't feel, you know, we're so big on the humour stakes. You know, I could be wrong there. Have taken the piss out of many of your works.
I think they think we're very funny.
There's a file called Parodian. You go in there, it's Parodian, and it's Parodian of Crowded House Songs.
Yeah.
We've gone off the subject. It's true. We're playing Sticky Beaks. Call us now if you'd like to be beaked. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
I don't like your style, your politics, or your sense of humor. I don't like what you say or how you say it.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refresh.
This is Martin Malloy. It's time for Sticky Beaks poking their noses into other people's business today. We have Mick Malloy, Tony Martin and Paul Hester sitting in on the program today. One of your tunes there, is it, Paul?
That's a good tune, that.
I think it's... who is that? It's from Get Shorty, but who's doing that? Because we get a lot of inquiries about the music. It's Stink.
I think the name of that track is Stink, you'll find.
Good. And let's get things underway. Who are the Beaks today?
Well, this bloke here, he's all beak. It's Marcus. How are you, buddy?
Good, thanks.
That's all right. What are you doing with yourself, Marcus?
Oh, not much.
Why?
I'm talking to you guys.
Okay, not giving too much away. Very unbeakly.
Man of mystery. Where are you calling us from, Marcus?
Queensland.
Queensland. What's going on up there today?
Not much.
Really?
Frank Tanti? Not giving much away again.
Frank Tanti making any big moves we need to know about?
No.
Okay, I think we might be talking to Frank Tanti.
Could be. And taking you on, Marcus, we have Angela. You there, Angela?
I certainly am.
Say hello to Paul Hester.
Hello, Paul Hester. How are you?
Good, I'm good, Angela. How are you? Things
I'm
well?
I'm rather well.
Mm, good.
And are you a fan of Paul's work, Angela?
Oh, I can't say no.
All right, we'll see what you
That's
think
the spirit.
At the end of this segment.
Good. We've got to get a million of those suckers off the shelves.
All right, we're going to be roping Paul into the question asking caper today. Let's get the beaking underway. Mick, you kick things off.
All right, Angela, a photo of Marcus once appeared in A,
a local newspaper, B, his school magazine, C, Studley's, an Australian women's forum.
I have to go with C, I think.
No! Marcus, you've never appeared in Studley's, have you?
No.
I was trying to say B.
No. We've heard it before. That's the Peter Costello technique. B would have been right too. School magazine. Were you in your uniform? What were you doing in the magazine?
I was in my uniform, smiling.
Smiling away.
Yes. Do school magazines have a Studley's page?
Not when I was a lad, T. Martin.
All right. Was there much Studley's work at the Annie Leibovitz?
Oh, there was a fair amount of Studley pubic work. Yes.
I see. Okay. We'll move on. Here's a question for you, Marcus, about Angela. Angela's dream date is A, Mel Gibson, B, Paul McDermott, C, that regurgitator bloke Stevie Starr.
I'll go with A.
No, she's a fan of Paul McDermott. Paul McDermott, ex of the Doug Anthony All-Stars. Is that right, Angela?
Certainly is.
Are you one of those women who used to go giggling and screaming along to the Das Kapital gigs?
Well, yes, I was. Shamefully so, but...
Right. And what do you think about the individual career paths of the All-Stars these days?
Oh, look, I still think they're wonderful.
Yes. And do you think they'll get back together for a bit of a reunion? Maybe do the RSL circuit. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like them to wait till they're about 60, squeeze back into them little black suits and get out on the game. All right. Well, and of course, the regurgitator bloke, Stevie Starr. That's not your dream date.
No, you're not going to be going the snog with that bloke.
No.
You could be taking possession of anything.
It'd be good for when it comes to pay the bill, though, at the restaurant. What about the tip? All right. What a...
And C, always ask, what would Dave Graney do?
Ooh, A?
No!
Sorry, darling. It's B, I'm afraid. It's shorts, T-shirts and thongs will be big in Dave Graney this summer. Sorry.
How did you come to that idea, Marcus?
That's what I always wear. So.
That's right. All he's got in the wardrobe. He's open.
It's Marcus Gaultier, obviously. Have we got another question for him?
Is it my turn again? Is it?
All right.
I'm asking Angela.
The wheels have fallen off. Ask Angela.
All right, Angela, here's a question for you. Marcus's idea of a romantic evening is A, dinner for two at a Chinese restaurant. B, a stroll through the botanical gardens. C, 6 UDL Ouzo and cakes and a visit to the Trots.
Well, I'm going to go with B because that's been the answer every other time.
It's dinner for two at a Chinese restaurant. Ain't that right, Marcus? In your shorts, T-shirts and thongs, you will be to die for.
All right, now, it's a question for Marcus this time. Are you ready? This is about Angela. Angela's life most resembles which of the following TV programs? A, Seinfeld. B, Home and Away. C, Ocean Girl.
A.
Yes, Seinfeld.
Yes.
How is that the case, Angela?
Oh, we just tend to sit around and talk about nothing a lot.
All right. And is there a Kramer involved?
No, there's not actually. We've got a couple of Jerrys, I would say. Lots of Georges in the group, but...
What about a Newman?
A Newman?
A Newman, the bloke up the hot corridor they don't like.
No, we don't actually.
Right, okay. All right, well, we're beaking away, and I think we've got a final question. And due to the luck of the draw, it's actually for Marcus again, because I think we blew it.
No.
But don't worry, it still ends up with 3 questions for everybody. Let's hear the final question, Paul.
Okay, Marcus, the last party Angela threw could be described as A, relatively successful, B, a total disaster, or C, Sexpo 96.
B.
No, it wasn't a disaster, it was relatively successful. Was that one of your Seinfeld nights, Angela?
Yeah, it was, actually.
Could you elaborate on that, Angela, for us? Relatively, could you elaborate on that?
Well, we basically sat around, ate a lot, drank a lot, and nothing really happened.
I see. Ding, 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 ding. All right, well, I think, in fact, Angela is our... It's Marcus is our winner. Marcus is the only person who's answered one question correctly. But, Angela, listen to this. You've got a Martin Malloy fashion accessory.
Great.
Okay. Throw that on, see what the neighbours think, see if you can get a sitcom going. And as for you, Marcus, you've got the Crowded House CD back catalogue.
Yes.
Yes. I wish I had one.
Love Crowded House.
We will.
Good on you, Marcus.
We'll get you one, Paul. Don't worry. Before this is over, we'll get you one. And you've gone into the draw for the trip to Germany that we're reaching into the barrel for this Friday.
Yes, I hope I win it.
Okay.
Take me.
Can I do something for you?
No. Yeah, sure.
Okay, I just got my microphone ready.
Yeah.
Where is it? It's
that bloke! It's the pesky Marcus!
We'll be back with more contestants, more beaks tomorrow. I'm Martin Malloy.
Thank you, sir, but please don't shove your big nose in my business. Your big nose in my business. That's Nosy Joe, the nosiest guy I know. Dig that nose.
Hey, there's Prince on about his hat here at Martin Malloy. Almost time to go, and we have got a treat. I know we've been talking Murder One a bit today, but we have got a treat for Murder One fans before we sign off today. Paul Hester's sitting in on the program. Paul, are you taken by Riverdance? Are you into all that Irish jumping about? I know it's sweeping the world.
I've been there. I was 82. I was into that.
Were you?
Yeah, we were all into that down St Kilda in Melbourne in 82. Huge Irish community there. There were three blokes that were Irish, and they all danced like that.
Yeah. Paul Hester, Lord of the Dance.
Me, Barnsley, Farnsley. We all used to do that. I mean, Jimmy is bloody good at it. Yeah. You know, being Scottish, he's had a good look.
There's a lot of money, obviously, to be made in this, because now there's a video, Celtic Feet. Listen, there's a Celtic Feet. There's a video, so you at home can learn how to do the river dance.
So what is it, like a twister board that's got footprints on it that shows you how to do the Irish jig?
And it comes with a big flagon, and you just, before you know it, you're Michael Flatley in your own lounge room. Fantastic. Now, also something else we were talking about is Sexpo. I know we mentioned it in that thing there before, Sticky Beaks, that was it. And what was going on there, Marcus, with that wacky sound? He must have been one of our contestants on Silly Noises.
I believe so.
How does somebody get through twice on this program when we've got 700 billion people trying to get through every
day? We had that woman talk to us yesterday and go, we were talking, doing little things that annoy you. And it's, I can never get on the lines. And when I do get on the lines, you never answer the phones.
She's going to be even more annoyed now. Oh.
And then Marcus is popping up on our show more regularly than Hester.
It's a tax thing. It's a tax thing. It's his tax day off, and he puts all his energy on the bloody lines.
Tax day off. What about Sexpo? It is coming, the first annual sex industry exhibition. They finally found a venue.
That's what it is.
That's what it's all about. It's gone to Melbourne because there's been a lot. No one would host it.
Sign me up, baby. I love a gadget.
We sent you to Leibowitz. Guess where we're sending you next time, Esto?
See if you spot any of those two-rack ladies down at
Sexpo. Get me a pillow and some gaffer tape.
Would there have been a bidding war, do you think? Would Jeff Kennett have been in there behind the scenes trying to snaffle it off Adelaide? Would he have been there on the opening day saying, what's that thing with the batteries that looks like me? But anyway, after being denied use of the World Congress Centre, listen to this. Sexpo 96 will be held at the Carlton Crest Hotel in Melbourne from the 31st of this month. And already it's been condemned by the Catholic Church as being an assault on human dignity. That's a case of the pot calling the kettle blue, don't you think? Open up a paper and check out what some of your own representatives have been up to of late, team.
I think it's a bit unfair on the hotel.
Yes, now, Sexpo 96, a showcase for the latest innovations in the sex toy industry, will, of course, be from October 31st and will be officially opened by the Duchess of York. So be there. Look forward to that. She'll be declaring Sexpo underway with a customary aplomb. And attendees, remember the official royal protocol. You can look, but you can't touch. Cash only. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks.
And also, we'd like to thank our beaks and our gladiators. We'll be back tomorrow with, listen to this, George Sheftsov.
Oh, yeah.
Who is George Sheftsov? He's a respected actor, Australian actor, who is the star of a new film called Love Serenade, a very interesting Australian movie. We're going to be trying to get to the bottom of it. He also plays a radio announcer in the film, so we're hoping for a few tips off George. That'll be tomorrow on Martin Malloy, and as I promised, here it is.
Tonight on Murder One, don't miss the action as a giant walrus in a three-piece suit called Teddy puts a key witness on the stand.
I'd like to ask you some questions in the hope that these men and women on the jury might get to know you a little better.
Fire away, you big, baldy-headed wombat.
I would like you to take us through the night of September 20th, 1995.
No problem.
Tell us exactly what you did.
Okay, but first, come over here and let me tap you on the head with this soup spoon. Okay, that's it. Just wait there. Listen to this, everyone. Check it out. That's got to be the most nuggety head I've ever seen. Listen.
I have no further questions.
If you thought that alien that landed in Roswell had a huge mutant melon, wait till you see what Teddy's getting round it.
Is Neil Avedon the name you were born with?
Yes, it was. And to prove it, I'm going to etch my name in the back of your head with this jackhammer. Check it out, everyone. How about that, eh?
I have no further questions.
In a desperate bid to sway the jurors, Teddy turns up in court wearing nothing but a pair of boots and his old wrestling trunks.
Was it during this period of time that you met Richard Cross?
God, objection, Your Honor. He's got me in a headlock. Oh no. He's going to give me the brain buster. Quick, Judge, smash him on the head with your gavel. Is that an adjournment?
Don't miss the action as the trial reaches its stunning conclusion tonight on Murder One.
Would you describe for us what your relationship with her was like?
Yes, we were. Oh, God, Teddy, look out! The steel girder! It's falling from the roof! It looks like it's going to hit you right on the head!
I have no further questions.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts, Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment. Pete Smith speaking.